Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
158 pounds of fun to be accurate. 65 degrees right now, going up to 85 today. Then another cool front comes in. Highs of 79 tomorrow and Thursday. Then the lower 80s on Friday and Saturday. Chance for showers on Saturday and Sunday, though. And then we're in the mid to lower 70s throughout next Wednesday. So that's good as we approach Halloween. Andy Smith joins us now, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm guessing a little bit cooler there.
We're going to have high in the mid-60s today. Sunny. The leaves are starting to fade, but there's still enough time for the leaf peepers to come up here and spend some money.
The leaf, what is it?
Leaf peepers.
Leaf peepers. I like it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this government shutdown here and what's going on with, if I guess you can recap it because we're in day 58, 39, 115. It's like deja vu all over again, right?
Is there something actually going on? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Other than the press, is this something that's really impacting Americans yet? I don't believe it is yet.
Well, along those lines, let's talk about what's going on in the House, because now Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, you know what, the House should be conducting business, and Mike Johnson has him in recess. Tell me what's going on politically there, or I guess practically speaking, with the business the House can conduct or can't, and why Mike Johnson doesn't want to have him in session?
Boy, there's been a lot of speculation as to why, given that there's still speculation about the Epstein files and seating the new congressman from Arizona who hasn't been seated because she wants to release the Epstein files. So there's that floating around. But I think it's more a part of the larger Republican strategy to force Democrats' hands on either voting for the continuation bill. But I mean, frankly, we're getting into November, which is when they start to pass the regular order bills come about for the different agencies. Democrats this last week did not pass the military bill in the Senate, but getting back to the House. And so I think what the House is doing is just basically forcing the action into the Senate, but they're going to have to open up because the negotiations for those regular order bills have to take place as well. So that has to be going on, and that needs to get moving quickly. And I can see why Congressman Green is upset about that.
So Mike Johnson has these press conferences daily where he blames the Democrats. But what I'm thinking is, politically, if you want to do theater, not that politics is theater or anything.
No.
But if you wanted to do that, well, take me through the rules in the Senate with cloture, because if I'm the Republicans, I would have the Democrats go through the theater of a filibuster, and then I could say, or is that possible with the rules, where I could say, look, we want to get the government open. These people are filibustering to keep us from doing that. Can that happen with the rules or not?
Well, yeah, that's what's happening right now. The Republicans are claiming that the Democrats are blocking it from being open.
But I mean, go through the actual theater of the filibuster.
Oh, to go through the actual theater. That's just a curious question. I don't know how I don't know that. I'd have to think about that one. But
because you see what I'm saying politically, if I'm the Republicans and I really want to put the focus, I'm talking about politically here. You can believe whatever you want, but I'm just talking about the politics of this, and I want to put the blame on the Democrats. By God, I'm going to have them filibuster and read the whatever it is, read the congressional record, whatever they have to do to keep to make it seem as though they are really being obstructionists. Would that make sense or not politically?
I don't think that the Republicans don't have enough votes to do that. Typically, you're going to do a filibuster when it's your last resort, meaning that you don't have the votes to stop something.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats right now do have the votes to stop that from moving through because of the cloture vote that it takes. I think that I don't think that they're up to that point yet where they're going to have to do more theatrics, imagine mm-hmm. more theatrics in the Senate. I think that you'll see as time goes on and as people aren't really feeling it necessarily, and the Republicans have been smart by saying, well, we got this bill to keep the military going. We're going to mm-hmm. get these other bills all lined up to keep all this other spending going. It's the Democrats who are stopping it. It's really the Democrats who have the weaker hand here. First off, because they don't hold the presidency, and the president controls what spends, what stays open and what doesn't stay open. The executive branch can control that. But I think that the Republicans can just continue to point saying, hey, you guys aren't spending, you aren't spending. And if they start getting into those individual bills, it's easier to pick off those few Democrats that for whom those bills are their, you know, that's their area of expertise, or that's something that's very, very important to their state. And then you're likely to see some of those individual spending bills go through.
So you can go through whatever theatrics you want. Ultimately, it's the perception of the public, right? And how does the perception of the public stand now as far as this government shutdown? Is there blame to be laid, or do they even care at this point?
Yeah, it's roughly it's slightly more against the Republicans, but I have it's so partisan because like everything else, this is tied up in partisanship. Democrats blame the Republicans, Republicans blame the Democrats, and the people in the middle shrug their shoulders. I think that's pretty much where we are now because both sides have enough evidence to say we aren't losing this yet, and until somebody sees that they're going to be losing public support, I don't think we're going to see much movement. Most importantly, 2026 is coming around, and a lot of this is just angling and getting your party ready to go for the 2026 elections.
Getting them ready to go as far as the public is concerned, or getting them ready to go as far as firing them up like a pregame speech?
Firing them up. Absolutely. Firing them up. The Democratic Party has been in disarray since Trump got elected. They're looking for anything that can galvanize.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
The party, they think that I think the leadership believes that stopping Republicans and Trump from passing this the spending bills is a way to galvanize their party support going into 2026. I think it's probably too early for that right now, but they really are in the Democratic Party is really in need of getting themselves in fighting trim for the election in the fall. The Republicans are pretty much good to go.
Yeah, I want to ask you how they got so disorganized. What happened to the Democratic Party? We'll talk about that when we come back. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Andy Smith, our friend, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, talking about the government shutdown. So they had these rallies over the weekend. That shows what you're against, but does it show what people are for when it comes to the Democrats getting their act together or fielding candidates that have a chance of winning, et cetera? And how did the Democratic Party get in such a sense of disarray, Andy?
Well, I don't think that it does. Some wag wrote that it wasn't so much a protest, it was a collection of people with their NPR tote bags. So it was kind of the usual suspects that were out there protesting over the weekend. So it's not really gotten down to a protest where it's really people are angry. These are people that from people all along. But the Democratic Party and the position they're in, I think it's a long time coming. But it basically comes down to a couple things. First off, you can't govern against the will of the public for too long. And by taking unpopular positions on several issues and really sticking to them because of their smaller constituency groups, they've lost the blue-collar vote. So people are concerned about economics, what's in their pocket. And if they see that the Democrats are more concerned about letting illegal immigrants into the country, I'm not saying this is true or not, but the impression there, or supporting trans rights for kids in high school sports. These are things that the public looks at and says, well, what are you talking about? I'm worried about getting food on my table, and you're going to the floor on these sorts of issues. Ruben Gallego, who's a senator from Arizona, I heard him talk up here. He might be running for president, I heard him talk up here, and he was really making this case that the Democrats have lost the blue-collar vote, and it's been happening over a long period of time. It's not sudden, and they're now losing some of the minority vote. And that's real panic, because the Democratic Party under Obama basically set their goal as saying the country is going to be largely a majority-minority country. We've got all of these minority groups that are behind us, and they'll stay behind us, not thinking that Hispanics and Blacks and Asians and whoever are also, they're just more concerned about their economics than they are about their group identity.
So what can the Democrats do to improve their economic plight if, in fact, they are going to come back from wherever they are?
Well, I think what they have to do is something like Gallego and other people within the party are pushing, is to say, let's focus on the issues that the people are concerned about, not get lost in these kind of issues that are divisive, and we're taking a position that is just not the popular position. So they got to get back to economics. They got to get back to being the blue collar party. See, that's, I think, what their biggest problem is. It's kind of like schizophrenia. It's an elite party. It's an economic and social elite party based on the East Coast and the West Coast now. It's not the blue collar party that it once was, but they still think they are.
Is healthcare, are healthcare subsidies part of that blue collar thing that would resonate with people?
I think it would. And I think that's the area where you see Republicans are kind of nervous about this, because a lot of red state Republicans are concerned that those subsidies are going to a lot of their Republican voters. So that's an area where I think Democrats have some leverage. And I think that's one reason they're sticking to their guns right now in the Senate, is because they think that that's something that can hurt Republicans.
I go spray paint the leaves in your yard and attract some tourists and put the cup out. I know that's what you're all about this time of year. Thank you, Andy.
Great to talk to you.
Appreciate it. Pleasure as always. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. We come back, we're going to talk to Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, about how small business owners are feeling about the economy, about tariffs, shutdown, and more. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. 65 degrees, going up to about 85 today, then cooler tomorrow, highs near 80 for the next 3 days, a little bit of a chance for showers over the weekend, then it cools off again. So we're looking at highs as we approach Halloween in the mid-70s or so, no real cold front, but at least it's not 85 or 90 degrees, right? Leah Long joins us, director of Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, NFIB. Talk about small business owners and how they're feeling given the economic climate. Good morning, Leah. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What do the surveys say about optimism and small business owners during the month of September, I guess, right?
So, yeah, for September, unfortunately, it was the first decline in 3 months. So the optimism index did fall 2 points. And, you know, small business owners are generally viewing their businesses kind of in healthy conditions, but they're still juggling rising costs, slower sales expectations, and they're continuing to have labor quality issues. I know we talk about that all the time on here. And so that, along with just kind of what's going on in D.C., they're kind of worried about what policies might affect their business and, you know, the health of their business moving forward, too.
What kind of policies are they concerned about?
Well, it's just different things, you know, government mandates that could eventually come down. You just kind of never know. And so I think we've kind of got past, we're still dealing with some facts of inflation, but just what goes on in D.C., obviously the administration does have effect on all the business owners. And so just kind of seeing how that plays out and different things going on, not even just in D.C., but also on the state level too. And, you know, we're gearing up toward 2026 session, and that's something that business owners are thinking about too, like what new policies are going to be made that affects their businesses.
Do you differentiate between the supply and the demand side? For example, what are the business owners saying when it comes to inventories, when it comes to somebody texted in and said they'd love to sell American shirts, but they can't when the stuff they get from overseas is so much cheaper. I don't know how tariffs have affected that or not. What are you hearing about tariffs?
So we haven't directly polled the business owners on tariffs, but, you know, it's definitely industry specific. But I will say in the latest release, it was saying the inventory levels have definitely declined over the last month, and that, you know, could be to tariffs, could be a lot of different things. But again, it's still pretty industry specific on how, you know, the tariffs affect your industry.
What are you hearing from business owners about their biggest concern besides the recession?
Yeah, so the biggest concern is still labor quality. We talk about that on here all the time, being able to find a qualified workforce and, you know, be able to have that skill set workforce to fill these jobs. The idea is to create as many jobs as possible in Louisiana, but you do have to have qualified workers to do that. And, you know, as we move forward through session and different opportunities to be able to engage, you know, the public sector and the school sector to be able to get people into different trade school programs and promote that. And, you know, you think about construction, transportation, manufacturing. Those are huge industries that we need the qualified workers for.
Where are the shortages when it comes to qualified workers?
And definitely in those industries, you know, construction, manufacturing, transportation. And so that's something you see that you use every day. You know, there's always some sort of contract worker needed, whether you're in your construction, manufacturing, plumbers, air conditioning. And a lot of those businesses are independent, independently owned. And so that is something to always remember when you are needing those type of workers.
Did you say contract workers?
Well, a lot of I like to say contract, you know, contract plumbers, contract AC people, contract construction workers. Always used to say that, you know, we love big companies coming in to Louisiana also, because a lot of those people that work in those big companies are, you know, do the product, do the initial building of the big companies. They are independently owned contractors.
So, wait, I'm confused. So that means the companies, they hire the workers as contract workers and don't provide benefits. Is that what you're saying, or am I conflating something?
No, I'm just saying if you're a small business owner, let's say you're a one man in a truck contractor, and you go get a contract job with a bigger company, you're your own small business owner.
I got you.
Okay.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back 6:50, 10 till 7. Traffic now. WWL. 6:57, beautiful fall morning here, Tuesday, October 21st. Talking to Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, NFIB. A new survey says optimism among small business owners nationwide fell in September. Leah, somebody texted and said, is this lady saying that the impact of the immigration crisis has a direct effect on construction, including plumbing, carpentry, roofing, framing, etc.?
We haven't polled exactly on the immigration issue on what's affecting that, but it does go back, obviously, different things add and contribute to the workforce issues that they're having. And, you know, in those industries, it could be various things. So,
but there's a shortage of those kind of workers, right?
Yeah, there definitely is a shortage of those type of workers. And we've seen that long before, you know, the immigration issues began. That's been happening the last year or so. So that's definitely always been those three main things, construction, manufacturing, and transportation, always kind of have a shortage in workforce, skilled workforce people available.
What are you optimistic about, Leah?
So I'm optimistic that as we continue to move toward session in 2026, you know, we have some high hopes. As always, everyone goes into session as hopeful as, you know, as we can be. And so I would like to see a lot of changes done in the workers' comp arena. You know, a lot of reform. We talked about insurance reform last year, and I think we need to move toward workers' comp. You know, that we have the fifth highest premiums, I think, in the country when it comes to workers' comp, and we've got to find a transparent, balanced system, you know, to get the workers back to work and to also help the employers, you know, lower their costs, too.
I don't know a lot about workers' comp, having never experienced any part of it. Tell me what the problems are.
You know, the problem is it is just a very expensive system. And, you know, you always have good actors and bad actors. And the ideal goal for the system is that, you know, you need to make sure that the worker gets the help that they need when they are hurt and injured on the job and get them back to work as soon as possible. But, you know, we kind of go back to the lawsuit climate of the state we live in. And so that plays into the factors of the workers' comp arena also.
Workers' comp is underwritten by whom?
The Workers' Comp Commission and then the Workforce Commission.
All right. Holiday spending thoughts? Think it's going to be good or what?
You know, we work well with the Workforce Commission and be able to, you know, kind of figure out different things with them and what's you know, most beneficial for the employer and the employee. And so I think that's, you know, Secretary Susan up there, Susie, she is very good at that. So we're continuing to work with her.
All right, thank you. Appreciate your time. Leah Long, Director of the Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Glenn Gilbo, editor of Tiger Rag, about Brian Kelly, what he said after his press conference after the Vanderbilt game and ahead of the Texas A&M game and what happens from here. Plus, we'll talk about the outage at AWS. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.